Okay, the Siyata Dishmaya, we're towards the end of Kuf Pei Dalet, discussing the halachos of Bedika, and there were certain details in Bedika that we hadn't finished in Kuf Pei Dalet, and then we'll go on to discuss the interface between Kuf Pei Dalet and Kuf Pei He. And that is in Sif Yud Aleph. We're going to discuss the halachas of the chiyuv of bedika and what happens if a husband comes home and does he have to ask his wife if she was bodekas and tahora. And finally, we're going to discuss the sugyas of amasla. We're going to discuss the sugyas of amasla in the beginning of Kuf Pei He as well. Some of the details that we didn't get to in regards to bedika, so Piskei Tshuva in Sif Katan Yud Zayin says an interesting idea. So what we had left off in Sif Tes, Shar Nashim Tzrichos Pedika Kishiyagia HaVeses. So the question that we're going to discuss is what exactly is the status of this Pedika? How often does it have to be done? Could it be done? Is it done once? Is it done twice? Is it done, how often is it done? So Pisrei Chuv and Sif Katan Yud Zayin says, Kishiyagia HaVeses, so if she has a particular time that she always sees, that she sees 12 o'clock at that day, so then in such a case, then she only needs to check at that time. What happens if she doesn't have a particular time when she sees? And similarly, if she has a ona beinus, tzricha bedika kol ona. So then the Chavis Das has this massive chumrah and says that she needs a constant bedika. So we're going to learn the din of moch dachuk, and moch dachuk is generally done during bein hashmashos for a hefsek tara, but the Chavis Das actually holds that she's supposed to have a moch dachuk the entire time. That's the position of the Chavis Das. So this is quite a chumrah. However, the Chazon Ish is meikel. If you take a look at the Chazon Ish in Simen Pei, Sifchav Beis, it's in your booklet. The Chazon Ish quotes this, and he says, "Kol zeh tamua, darei nechleku b'gemara b'batka b'shir veses, alo batka b'zman veses, v'kuli alma de tahorihi afilu mandam veses daraisa, v'itzarach mochtochel kol zman veses lo shayach lodum b'bidika b'shir haveses." So Gemara speaks about Shir HaVeses, but doesn't talk about the entire time. So the Chazon Ish says there's absolutely no makar for this, and the Chazon Ish is Mekel, and we don't follow this Chumra. Along these lines, Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva. If you go further in Gimel Memches, Rav Moshe discusses exactly the calculation of the Veses. And so Rav Moshe says, "Ubiyom aveses shel chashbonos shavigil liros bein beves kuva bein veses shenikuva tzricha lifrosh mibayla kol ayom imiru the gil liros bein biyom bein belaylo k'dematz biyoser etz anam shlanu da ona didak ka ona arichta dami dahenu kol me es la es." So he's reviewing all these things that we've already learned. Ve'imru gil atamil liros obiyom belaylo tifrosh rakos anav vad. Then he talks about the arzarua, and then he says all these things we've seen already. He says, "Umeshach ones aveshala tivdok atzma kama pa'amin." Ramesha says that she should check herself a few times. Ve'ezet tovash etovash beged lavan asamach behiduk yafle gufa kol osa ona. So Ramesha says that to check herself a few times during the day. The Marek Cohen has a similar type of idea in his tshuvas that he has from Rav Nissim Karelitz. Skipping a page, if you take a look at page Kuf Pei Ches, not the first edition of the Marek Cohen, but the second one. If you take a look at Kuf Pei Ches, so there on the bottom of the page, it says, "Kama pam tzricha isha lios bodekes biyom vesta matai?" How often? "L'chatchila kol kama shos," says Rav Nissim Karelitz. "Avalo b'mokam sheish techak." So he says, but there shouldn't be any lachatz that will come from it, but nevertheless, he says, or that anything that's uncomfortable, nevertheless, he says a few times day. It sounds like that both Rav Moshe and Rav Nissim Karelitz are really trying to solve the Chavos Das's problem that the Chazon Ish didn't have a problem with at all. The Chazon Ish said it's only one time in Zehu. But they're saying, how do you know? Because as we've discussed, generally the Vestos today are, she'll see one time at 10 o'clock, another time at 3 o'clock. So when's the right moment to check? And therefore, the Rav Nissim Karelitz's conclusion is, Roy lahakbid livdok b'sha achrona shal yom, aval ein tzarech livdok achrei shavar yom im bodka b'yom. So he says towards the end of the day would be recommended. And so therefore he mentions both the possibility of checking a few times. Ultimately, Mayri V'Rabbi Rav Neman Sal Shlita told me that one only has to check once. V'kach Nogu B'Tfutzos Yisrael, that they only check once. Even though if Amara Cohen is a real standard sefer, he doesn't really spell this out, because you have Rav Nissim Karelitz saying more than once. But I think the minhag is not the way. I don't even know people if there are people in America who follow Rav Moshe's mahalach. The Chazon Ish's approach seems to have won the day. Okay? Yes?
It seems like it should be even on the shelf. You know? Once you're being kosher, that it can come at any moment, then like, why not accept the fuck's
stuff? Right. Right. I think that part of it was Rav Nissim Karelis's line that it's going to be Leos, it's going to create a tremendous tzachach. But, I think the cheshbon probably is that you look at the own as one block of time, and you don't differentiate between 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and so on. You look at it as one block. But you're right, especially if you have the Svar of the Arzaruah, we look at it as being sporadic different rios, it's sporadic different times. There's room for the Svara, but that would create a tremendous weight on women during the Yimei HaVesas. And the other thing also to keep in mind is that too many bedikos also could cause scratches. And so that's something that we want to be careful about as well. Okay? So this is on this issue. We have another chumrah in the next Pischei Tshuva also. We didn't get to these chumras. And that is, if you remember, these halachos that we discussed, kishiyegia aveses va'avar aveses v'lo batka, whether she's tahora or not, is totally in whether we say vestos are derabanan and vestos are doraisa. That the Gemara already differentiated that we'd be more machmir if vestos are doraisa. So the Pischei Tshuva discusses the following question. What happens if she checks and the aid disappears? Now, by the way, this shaila happens. That the bedika klaf gets lost. One of my biggest anxieties. It's one thing if I lose my wife's bedika klaf, but if I lose somebody else's bedika klaf, I feel terrible. Baruch Hashem, I don't think I've ever lost it, but I remember the fear that I had. That I had lost it. But what is the halacha in such a case? So the Pischei Tshuva says Sifkat Yiches Vim Botka Atzma V'Neva Da'ed Asura. He says she's Asur Deshuv Lekaraya Mehadelo Hirgisha Desvara Hargasha Eid Hu V'Kol Shekeni Meshlicha Lo Pasha Avedas Ha'Eid Da'Asura. He again back to back. If you want to find a place where you have the Chavos Das's biggest chumras. By the way, I don't know if I should say, maybe that we don't have the camera now, so we're only recording audio. It really doesn't make a difference. But whether to put this on recording, there is a legend that the Chavos Das had so many chumras that he didn't stay married. There is such a legend out there. I've never substantiated it, but there is such a legend. So that legend of the Chavos Das's chumras really, really start over here in Kuf Pei Dal. This one, that she needs a boch dochuk inside the entire time. And in Yud Ches, he says the following chumra. He says like this. He says, remember I started off with whether Vestos are Daraisa or Darabanan? You could say that we're not sure if she's bled. We're not sure. And we would say Vestos are derabbanan. So especially Famevin Yavin, according to the Beis Yosef's approach, Vestos derabbanan means straight, Vestos derabbanan. So then in such a case, then there'll definitely be room straight up to be Mekel. The Chavis Das says, no, even if you can hold Vestos derabbanan, I've got the following problem. And that is, so she checked. Now, we've discussed that when a woman checks, then we don't give ourselves the shear of a kesem. We don't allow for the shear, Shalom Aleichem Rav Josh. We don't allow for the shear of a kesem. In other words, what that means is that even though when you have a stain, the halacha is you could be told of the makolas, but once you were talking about a bedika cloth, so then in such a case, then even the smallest shear is going to be asur. Why? Because we have to be afraid that there was a hargasha. And the insertion of the bedika is going to upset the hargasha. In other words, she had an hargasha, and it was just masked by the bedika cloth. So says the Pischei Tshuva as follows. He says as follows: Vim botka atzma v'neva ra'ed asura, d'shuv leka ra'im ayihad l'argisha, d'savra hargashas edu, v'kol shekeni mishlicha opasha b'avidasa ayid asura chavez das. In other words, we have to be afraid that at the end of the day we have a doraisa here. Why do we have a doraisa? Because if we have a bedika that masks a hargasha, we now have a din doraisa. So he continues, the Pischei Tshuva continues, Lefi zeh hu adinin b'shas vesta itila mayim gam kein tmeya. So if she urinates as well, we would have to be choshesh that she should become asura. So this is chumrah number two of the Chavis Das. His second chumrah is that at the end of the day, even though vestos are derabanan, but if you have a bedika cloth, so then what the bedika cloth does is the bedika cloth masks the hargasha. The bedika cloth masks the hargasha, so now she had a shaila. By the way, if she checked the bedika cloth and the bedika cloth came out clean, then there's nothing to talk about. But what happened was she had a shaila. And now, is this a shaila of a doraisa that you have to say suffolk doraisa or not? So the Chavis Das comes along and says that one has to be machmir. The Rav Ozner was mekel. He says the minhag ha'olam has been l'dorei doros to be mekel in this shaila. He says, the page actually I put down on the Mar Mekomos is the wrong page, because the page I put down is actually the Rav Ozner talking about the first chumra of the Chavis Das. Since I opened up to that page, let me just read you that. He says, "Avol gedolei ra kasu shein ogem shum de kasha v'metzius sheisha teilch b'moch dachul." So that's the answer, Natan, to your question. He says, "B'metzius, we don't. That would be difficult to have. Either way." The Shevet HaLevi is also mekel on the case of Nevada Eid HaBoduk. And I think the reason why we're mekel is as follows. That even though when it comes to a bedika, we say that there's we have to be choshesh, that it masks the hargasha, over here, here it's just a chshash ba'alma. In other words, it's a chshash that you can't use the tli of the makoles. But to say that it turns it now into a suffix Doraisa, that is going to be more difficult. Now, according to the note of Yehuda Vameivin Yavin, you still have another question: whether this bedika is going to serve as a din doraisa or is going to serve as a din drabanan. But assuming that's going to be a din drabanan, that's what would emerge. Yes, Natan.
Yeah, if we elders have passed before, it could be a much bigger form of manazeh. The whole assumption is that of Shas Vesta is if she knows the father that she didn't have Hargosha. In which case, if there's anything that could potentially mask the Hargosha, she has to be Koshish. Because Manazet, most people assume that a woman never senses a Hargosha but has a Hargosha, so then every Shas Vesta should have to be Koshish. matter what she does, whether she loses, she should just be asura.
Because how do you know that she didn't have argosha?
If she didn't have a moktosa the entire time, she should be asura.
Right.
Every vessel.
Right. Right. So that's the reason we don't follow it. Since I didn't find where it was in the Shevet Alevi, I did remember that in the Marek Kohen, we do have it in front of you. The Marek Kohen has it on page Kufayin Aleph, the second page in the booklet. He says, "Botka atzmi yom vesta v'nevet ha'ed v'eni yadasim ha'ilav maritame kasar achorim lahakol zeh v'tivdok atzma pam shniya." So he says that's the standard psak. So that's where we have that we don't follow this chavis das also l'chumra. Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, we're now up to a new topic. Last time we didn't finish off the details, and now we're about bedika. Now we're ready to start a new topic. Let's take a look at the tour in Sif Yud Aleph. Here, what we're going to be discussing is a Gemara on Daf Tes Vav, Amud Aleph, about what is the presumptive status of a woman when a husband meets her. Could he assume that she's Tahora? And we're going to see there are different situations, and her status is going to be affected by the different variables. So let's take a look at the tour. Haba min aderech, v'chein ha'shoa mishto bi'ir v'igia eis vesta. So if her vesas that they both know has come, so then in such a case they can't have relations until she affirms that she is tahora. And if 30 days pass, then for sure we have to be concerned. And she's prohibited at the end of 30 days until she does a vedika. So in Tur we have two dargas. Even though the Mishnah tells us that the halacha is that haba min aderech nasheim lahem becheskas tahara, that's only if he left her when she had a cheskas tahara, and there was no reason to believe that her status changed. So then in such a case, he doesn't even need to ask her. Straight up, everything is going to be mutter. However, says the Tur in the Bamed Var Mamurim, in a case of where... Sorry, even prior to Bamed Var Mamurim. However, says the Tur right off the bat, if, however, there is a Gia Eis Vesta, so then in such a case, he's going to need to ask her. So far, both sides, we're going to count three or four different cases. No Jew will be left behind. We have to have all these three or four cases totally clear before we go on. So case number one is the Mishnah. Case of the Mishnah, where everybody agrees that she's Tahora, is a case in which he left her when she is Tahor. There was no reason to believe her Vesas came. So then in such a case, she has a full Cheskas Tahara. However, once one gets into the space in which her Vesas might have come, so then in such a case, he has to ask her. Now, why would she have to ask her? So the Beis Yosef advances, after cheshbening all the Shitos Amorayim, and after quoting the Rajba, the Beis Yosef says as follows. Even though Vestos are Darabonin, so if Vestos are Darabonin, then she should be able to assume, he should be able to assume that she's Tahora. Nevertheless, we're going to enter a problematic stage. And that is, going up against Vestos Rabbanon is Chazaka de Orech Bizmano Ba. A Chazaka that her period comes. Now, that's that the Beis Yosef says, if you want to see it inside, in Dibra Maskel Vahashta, the Beis Yosef spells that out. Mishum de Rov Pa'amim Orech Bizmano Ba. In other words, once the Shas Vestas comes, there you have already a Chazaka that pushes in the opposite direction. Ah. Now we have case number three. Again, case number one, left Torah, comes back where there's no Vesas, nothing to discuss, Muteris. Case number two, once it's Chazaka Doroch Bezman Oba, then in such a case needs to ask her if she's Torah. We won't spend a lot of time. that the, of course we have Tosas and Gittin and Daf Beis and Beis that says that a, this is a source for Eid Echa Nema Bisurin, that a woman is Nemenes V'Safrala, and Tosas adds that it's Biyada to go to the Mikvah, so she has a Nemenes even where there would be a Cheskas Iser, a woman's Nemenes. So certainly over here. Case number three is the following. That is where the woman had time also to go to the mikvah. If she has time to go to the mikvah, we paskin like the shitos that say that mechashev yemei vesta, he's able to make a cheshbon and say that since she had enough time to go to the mikvah, he doesn't need to verify and ask her that whether she's tahora. What's the halachic mechanic for that? So the Beis Yosef explains that there's a svek sveika over here. What's our svek sveika? Safek, whether her period came or not. Maybe her period came, maybe her period didn't. And a safek of whether maybe she wasn't tova, but maybe she was also tova. So even if her period came, maybe she was tova. So due to the svek sveika, the Beis Yosef says one could be mekel. Vamevin Yavin, if we were doing learning B'iyun in the morning, I'd be intrigued by the question of, on the one hand, we said when there's one suffix, we say cheska de'orach b'zman oba, yet all of a sudden, when we have another suffix, so then all of a sudden we combine the two svegas. Once you have chazaka de'orach b'zman oba, maybe the first suffix should fall away. If anybody has a good answer for that question, tell me in the base medrash. I'd like to have an answer to that question. Okay, so we have three different levels with three different halachic explanations. Finally, we have a fourth level that the Bach points out that we have in the beginning of Kuf Pei Hei, and that is why I structured the Mar Mikolmos the way I did. If you notice, we're going to go from Sif Yud Aleph and skip all the other Sifim, and because we've done all of them, and we're going to go to Kuf Pei Hei. Why did I do it this way? Because the Bach points out that really Sif Yud Aleph of Kuf Pei Dalet is directly connected to the tour in Kuf Pei Hei, to the point that the Bach Dibar Maskel Umiyu says he doesn't understand why the tour structured the Shulchan Aruch this way. Says the tour in Kuf Pei Hei, Ha'isha Shi Becheskas Tmeya. Ah, this is case number four. Case number four is that he left her when she was Tmeya. Then Asolo Lava Olao Ad Sheteomelo Tavalti. Then she needs to say, and we're going to have spend time in the Achronim, what exactly does she need to say? She needs to say Tavalti. Why? Because here you have a Cheskas Tumah. In other words, once you have the Cheskas Tumah, so then in such a case, all the Sveikos in the world are not going to help you. Once you have a Cheskas Tumah, so then she needs to verify. She's going to be Nemenes. V'Safrala says that she's Nemenes, but she now needs to say Eidus. You can't say that there's a Svek Sveika over here. Maybe this is a Maramakom, a Svek Sveika with Makom Chazaka, Yesh Lodun Vamevin Yavin. But at the end of the day, these are our four different levels. Okay? So this is our four different levels, and you see that in the Bach who points it out. So this is the segue to Kuf Pei Hei. There might be good answers to the Bach's question, and we often have to jump around a little bit to teach it the best way possible. But these are the four darkest. Let's take a look and see how it's gepaskened in Shulchan Aruch, and then see what comes out. Lamaisa says the Mechaber Kuf Pei Dalid Yud Aleph Isha Sheish Lavesas Liyamim V'Gia Shas Vesa Asalav Olah Shisha Lena V'Main Lavesas Yom Shoshim Yasav Ki Yigi Yishas Vesem Shasa Achar Vesem Shir Shetispar V'Titbal Ba'aleha V'Ein Tzarech Lishol. If there's enough time, so then he's allowed to have relations without even asking her. The Shach points out the obvious in Sifkat and Lamed. The Shach says, but if it's the case of kodem avesas, then in such a case, then there is no need at all. If one takes a look at the Be'er Heitev, in Sifkatan Tes Zayin, says the following. let's say, look at, there's an addition there that doesn't only, that doesn't appear only in the Nosek, in the Taz and the Shach. Generally, of course, the Ber Heitev generally is just a summary of the Shach and Taz. Every once in a while, there are important Hosafas. Says the Ber Heitev, by the way, if you're, Rav Natan's heard this from me in the past, if you're trying to do Chazara, quick Chazara, which I would encourage you to do, not just for a test, trying to, you know, nowadays we do Dafyomi, but I have a congregant who said that just like people are learning Dafyomi, they should be learning Shulchan Aruch the same speed. So he started a program to finish all of Dal Chalkei Shulchan Aruch in 3 years. And that type of, so if you're learning really fast Shulchan Aruch, just like people do Gemara fast, they shouldn't fool themselves that they're learning Gemara properly. But there is an idea of covering Gemara fast. I would recommend, instead of doing the Shach and Taz, do with the Ber Heitevs, because that really summarizes the most important things. Obviously, it's not Be'iyun, but it has value too. So it says Ber Heitev, Sifkan Tazayin, Lishal Afil Isha Yold Loda the Bar Shalit Bov Atzva, Vatam the Tfilah Safek Motzi Midei Safek, Re'iyas Vestos the Rabbanon. So you have the tefillah of a suffek that takes us out. We call the svek sveka. Avon vaday rasa asar chishalen the ain suffek tefillah motzim de vaday rasa. And he quotes that from the Gemara, and we presented it in the lingo of the Beis Yosef. And then he concludes v'ayim bismag because of the asur the isha lamub me tumasa el yeshal litbol biyad v'chein kasu achronim. The smag says that a woman should always be tovel miyad. What is the smag do? Why is the Ber Heitev quoting the smag right here now? Well, if people wouldn't follow the smag's advice, then what would come out is then the whole suggestion of the Gemara that you could calculate the time that she would go to the mikvah would fall away if a woman doesn't naturally go right away at her earliest opportunity to go to the mikvah. Because what was our cheshbon, our halacha? Halacha is that if you left her and the vessel passed, you could still assume that she went to the mikvah. So smag says that yesh l'isha litbo miyad. So what the smag is doing is holding on to this kula by doing that. If, however, women would stop doing it, going to the mikvah right away, so then that would, that heter would now be called into question. And sure enough, the Aruch HaShulchan calls it into question. If you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan in Kuf Pei Dalet Nun, it's the Bar Ilan photocopy, right after the Marah Kohen, going to say during our booklet. This is, it doesn't say Nun on the top, it says Nun Aleph in the next Sif, right on the top. Omnam Ani Shol She'ela Acheres. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, wait a second. What the smag had done to hold on to the heter has been undermined by certain realities that women don't go to the mikvah when their husbands are away. In fact, I looked around briefly. I looked in one sefer that I thought might have it, but I didn't find it. I remember previously I found that there is, it is common in, I don't like using this term, but I'll use it anyhow, in Hasidic circles, that al pi Kabbalah, to be makbid, that a woman not to go to mikvah when her husband is not home. So, and it's interesting that even though that's based on Kabbalah, the Aruch HaShulchan generally doesn't go with Kabbalah, there is even, this is wild, I did see once upon a time, people from those type of background, I think even asked me about this, that there was some custom with a woman, this is going to sound really weird, that a woman who ends up going to the mikvah before her husband comes home, sleeps with a knife under her pillow. Mm-hmm. Not recommended. So I don't know what this whole idea is based on, but at the end of the day, it seems that it's not only some concern in Kabbalah, which we didn't find on the page in Shulchan Aruch, but the Aruch HaShulchan says is that people didn't follow the smag. So Aruch HaShulchan continues, "Udivrei HaTorah Shulchan Aruch nuchrach lomer kishemitzapet al biato toveles gam kolin shabam inederch." If in any way a woman expects her husband to come home, So then in such a case, she should be tovelis. In other words, we want to hold on to this halacha, that you could assume that she went to the mikveh. Ve'efshar shegam ata minikein. But then he goes on within Shitas HaRambam. I'll leave that lahagdil Torah ladira for you. But at the end of the day, the Aruch HaShulchan says that you should go, she should go for the time that she expects her husband to come back. When people ask me about this, this shaila comes up pretty often, especially husbands who are commuting and so on. So I think it's kedai to follow the smag. I was never mekabel from my rabbeim this concern of Kabbalah. And when I discussed it with Rav Nevenzahl, this was actually one of my 10 most beautiful moments in halacha with Rav Nevenzahl when he asked me. He told me that she should, and then he said to me that one time, and he said this with a tremendous, I can't describe it, for those of you who know him, that sometimes his face shines. So he had a tremendous smile when he told me this. He said, one time, I think it was one of his students in Yeshiva HaKotel, had asked him about this halacha, and he told them that his student was a soldier, and a soldier in Tzahal, and he asked that when he's away at the base, should his wife go to the mikvah? So Rav Nevenzahl told him yes. So the soldier came over afterwards, and he said that at the last minute, they freed him from the base, and he was able to go home. And because Rav Nevenzahl had said that his wife should go to, by the time he had come home, all the mikvahs were closed. But because Rav Nevenzahl had said that she should go to the mikvah just in case, so again, this smag is actually a source. Rav Nevenzahl had a tremendous simcha that he was able to have them to be able, the psak allowed the husband and wife to be together. Okay, so that's in regards to the shaila. I really don't see why one shouldn't follow that. In the Aruch HaShulchan, it could very well be in the Aruch HaShulchan's times, it was difficult for women to go to the mikveh. My father told me that my grandmother said that when they moved to Canada, the conditions of the mikvehs was horrific. So it could very well be that it was once upon a time it was very, very difficult for women to go to the mikveh. In fact, in this halacha, Aryeh pointed out, in this halacha, there were talk about a younger girl as not wanting to go to the mikveh. Maybe and she'd be less likely to go to the mikveh. So why was it that a younger girl? It probably was scary. The pasuk was scary once upon a time. Especially also being tovel in a river could be scary. Well, God forbid, it could also be dangerous as well. So it could very well be the nishtanu hametzius. I'm not aware of why a woman shouldn't go today. Yes, Natan.
I guess on my side, like it might come up, a woman's home with like her children and
correct.
So she doesn't want
to. Nachon, nachon, nachon. So I will never say that al pi halacha you have to, even though between us, I would like to follow the smag to be able to keep this heter going. In other words, by asking her to go to the mikvah, we're keeping a heter going. We want this will be a good example of koch de teira adif. We would want to keep the heter alive. But you're right. I do not tell if a woman asks me this question, I wouldn't say you have to go. I would say that I think you should go at your convenience, but there's no problem. You don't, and possibly shouldn't even wait till your husband comes home and to go to the mikveh as early as possible. Okay, so this is in regards to these halachos. Now we move on to the halachos of amasla. So here, what's amazing is we have a dafyomi bonus. We have the bonus from the dafyomi. Mamish, we just had it in the dafyomi, and that is the situation of amasla. So let's take a look and see as it's quoted from the Beis Yosef. Let's see the tour. V'imhuchzaka nida b'shchona seha. We're in kuf pei halt hei beis. If she had assumed the status of being a nida amongst her neighbors, kigon shereu aloveshes begodim hamyuched la b'nimei nidusa, chashiva kevadai tome. So this is the Gemara in Ksubis, which says that we could presume that she has a status of Tmeya. So that Gemara in Ksuvis, there are two Gemaras in Ksuvis. One Gemara in Ksuvis is on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and then we have in Berek Hamadir, a different Gemara. The Gemara says in the Beis Yosef in Sifkat and Beis, Amar Yehuda Huchzika Nida B'Shchanosea Baila Loka Ela Mishum Nida. That if she's muchzik nida, so then she's considered vaday tmeya. She's considered certainly tmeya. In those days, how would women be muchzik nida v'shkonosel? Women wore different clothing when there was a nida. It seems like that the sensitivity that women have today about people not knowing that they'd be a nida was not a sensitivity once upon a time. I think it's that the women changed, and not what the halacha demands. From the women, because it doesn't sound like it's halacha that says that women have to wear different clothing when she's a nida, but women would wear different clothing be made nidosa. Okay, so therefore now we have level number 5, if you will. We start with someone who left b'cheskas tara, he comes back. There's no reason to believe that she's b'cheskas tara. Now we have level number 5 in the spectrum moving over, and here we have a case of where you have a metzius that she's a nida. He comes back and he sees her as tmeya. It could very well be, by the way, that's the answer to the Bach's question, why we have in Sif Aleph in Kuf Pei Hei, not Kuf Pei Dalet. That is, the tour wanted to go, when he got up to case number 4, he wanted to connect it to the halachos of Amasla, and he wanted to put Amasla in a separate simen, and therefore we have a case where it's Huchzika Nida Vishchona Seah. So that is level number 5. So the Gemara tells us in Hamadir, but if she gives an explanation of why she was machzik herself as Tmeya, and to explain that she's really, really not Tmeya, in such a case, she is going to be believed. Says the Torah in Siv Gimel, Amra la baila Tmeyani, va'achakach Amra la tahorani, eina ne'menes. She, if she just said that she's Tmeya, and then she says Tahor, she's not believed. So the first case that the Torah gives is not the case that she was wearing nida clothing, but she said that she's Tmeya. She says that she's Tmeya, and then she says, I lied to you. So then it depends why she would lie. If she would lie because Laman HaShalom, that she didn't want her husband to be disappointed, where it's mutter to lie in cases of Shalom, so then, and really it was because that she wasn't capable of having tashmish. So then in such case, if she gives a good reason for her original statement, she's going to be believed. However, continues the Torah, Kasar Ramban, Huchzika Nida B'Shchonoseha, V'achakach Omeres Tahorani, Afilu Nasenes Amasal Dvarea She'omeres Lo Levashi B'godim Eilu Elish Lo Tiridani Ashav Ki Lo Ha'isabriya Eina Ne'menes Ad Kan. So the first opinion of the Ramban is, but once she did a Maisa, then an amasla is not going to work. Ratzalom marketing is tour. Kimon shirui nu alovesh is big thing. Yisav kilu reinu shirasa shaaz eino ne'menes lomer lo reisi. But so the Ramban says, then no amir is going to work. The tour continues. V'teimahu v'chi adiv hulsukon nindi b'shchasel mikshomeres beferish tmeani she'menes shuv lomer tarini al yidei amasla. If she gives a full amasla, an explanation, the reason why I dressed this way was for a particular reason, so then in such a case, she's going to be believed. What would be the reason why she would dress this way if she wasn't? So here we have someone in the Nosei Kalim explains why she did this. That she didn't just tell him, but she actually dressed this way. Right. So the Shach gives a case, the Shach in Sifkatan He gives a case where a woman would want to dress that way, even though it wasn't true. The Shach says, what happens if a woman miscarried, God forbid, three times, and she was choshesh that it was due to ayin hara? So she wants to make people think that there's no way that she's pregnant. That was what the Shach says in Sifkatan Hay. So that would be an instance where a woman would have an incentive to be machzik herself that way. That's what the Shach writes in Hay. Okay, but this is the machlokus between the Ramban and the Tur. So let's see how we paskin. Shulchan Aruch says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel. Amra labayla tmeani v'achakach amra tahorani einan emenes. If she first says that she's tmeya and then afterwards she explains that she's tahor, she's not believed. But if she has a good explanation, then she's not going to, then she will be believed. She has a good amasla. Can skip the Rama for now. Wow. So in this machlokus, the Mechaber Paskins like the Ramban, who says that the halacha is that the Maisa is going to be stronger than the Amira. In other words, you could give an Amasla on your Amira, but you can't give an Amasla on a Maisa. The Shach summarized in the beginning of Hay, and the Shach says, Hatam Kosev Beis Yosef, Dimishum Boshes O Onis Mikri, Va'amrat Mani, Avalasos Maisa Kule Hai, Lilosh Big Denida, Eina Loveshes. She would never go so far. If she doesn't want to have Tashmish, so then in such a case, she'll say it to her husband. But to do a Maisa, the Maisa is so strong that even a Masla is not going to work. The Shach then goes on and says, but what happens if it wouldn't be enough for her to say it? What happens, like the case that we had given, that she needed to do a maisa, that's what the Shach calls, e efshar be'inyan acher, so then in such a case, then she'll be believed with an amasla. This also is the way the Shach reconciles another question, that the halacha is, if you continue on in the Shach, let's do the Shach inside, and hey, the Shach continues, v'lo dami l'de'il simin aleph sif yugimel, b'tabach she'osa simin b'rosh hakeves. What happens if a butcher put a sign on the lamb that it's treif? And why did he do his treif? Because he didn't want to sell it until then. He didn't want people to be bothering him. So then in such a case, he's able to give an amasla, he's able to explain. According to the Shulchan Aruch, paskin and Hilchos Nida, that amasla doesn't work. Keneged amaisa. So the Shach says, the hasam lo hayilo efshar lo b'inyin acher. Aval hacha yefshar sh'tiyama t'meyani. So if the only time the Shach limits the Chumrah of the Ramban, the only time the Ramban's Chumrah is going to apply is a case in which she just put on the clothing and she could have just as well told her husband. So the question was, why did she do a Maisa? But if she needed the Maisa and she would want to have an Amasla afterwards, it's possible, and there was no other way to tell her husband, but she needed to do a maisa, because in this case this had nothing to do with her relations with her husband. It was about that she didn't want that ayin hara, so then in such a case amasa works. Hayosei midvareinu, according to the Shach, don't make a mistake and say that you never will have a maisa, an amasla after a maisa. Then Shulchan Aruch, we see that you have amaslos after maisios as well. So that's what emerges according to the Shach. Beautiful. Okay, so this is how the psakim begin to line up. We're going to get to the Rama and the Shach shortly, but again, maybe let's summarize. Let's see if we could. I don't know if I'm going to come up with the exact same numbers as we did before, but let's go with a summary, like the whole gamut that we have of when we could assume a woman's status and when she's. When will she need to say something? And when will she say something, it won't even work to explain. So we had case number one, was a case of when a husband leaves his wife when she's tahora, and then in such a case, then he could assume that she's tahora entirely. When he comes back, no conversation needs to take place. If her vesas passed, number two, so then in such a case, then he has to assume that her that she's tameya, because chazak aruch svanaba, and he has to ask her. When she asks her, and she says she's tahora, she's believed. Question, time number three, case number three, is if she had enough time to go to the mikvah, case number three, she had enough time to go to the mikvah, so then in such a case, then the halacha would be that he doesn't even need to ask her. Case number four, he leaves her when she's tameya, so then in such a case, then he will need to ask her as well, and she will have to say that she's tahora. Case number five is a case of where she was machzik benida b'shchonoseha, so then in such a case she's considered tmeya, and if she was machzik benida b'shchonoseha, then she won't even be believed to say that she was, that she did it for a reason, that she has amasla. Her amasla is not going to work in that case, I think it's already case number six, that won't work. Case number seven, that the Shach says that it would work, would be an instance where she gives an explanation why she did that maisa and why she needed to do that maisa. Case number eight is a case of where a woman says that she is tmeya, and then she explains to her husband that the reason why she said tmeya was because she didn't have koach for tashma. So that's a summary of basically all the cases that we've learned up until now. Moves along a little faster saying it than writing it out on the board. But I know there are advantages of writing it on the board as well. So these are our eight different gradations. Okay, now we're ready to start taking these halachas apart. So the Pischei Tshuva in Sif Katan Aleph has another chumra for the Chavis Das. This is going to be our record of chumras from the Chavis Das. Chavis Das is the great Nesivis. You know, the beautiful story, I've said this already here. The Nesivis is mind-boggling how much Nesivis wrote on Kol HaTorah Kula, B'iyun. It's mind-boggling. We have Svarim from the Nesivis all over. I'll leave the story for now, but it's really, to think about the breadth and the depth of what we have from the Nesivis Mishpat in his writings is really mind-boggling. So says, Nesivis discusses the following. In our case of a woman who is Becheskas Tmeya, so she needs to say Tavalti. So says the Pischei Tshuva, Afilu Shocheves Etzlo. Even if she lays down next to him, Lo Mahani Atcha Tuyamelo Beferish Tavalti. She has to spell out that she went to the mikvah. So when I learned this from the Chochmas Adam with Moreinu Rav Nevinzal Shlita, so I asked him, does that mean that you need to ask your wife if she went to the mikveh successfully? And Rav Nevinzal surprised me, and he said, yes. That was, we did discuss all the achronim. Now we're going to learn all the achronim. Maybe I'll go back to him and ask him all the give and take with the achronim. But Rav Nevinzal basically said, and the Chochmas Adam, when he says, to say it, so I asked, yes, fairish yet? He said, like this Chavis Das. However, not all agree with this shita. The Aruch HaShulchan, which should be in your booklet as well, the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Dalid by us, summarizes this discussion the following day. Kuf Pei Hei Dalid. V'simin HaKodim Nisparadi Kishahoya Baal B'derech U'bamin HaDerech Kishaynicha Tahor Em Yesh Zman Shaisi Chol Litar Acharei Yimei Tumasa Mutar Lo Lovo Leha Gelo She'ela L'das HaTor V'Shulchan Aruch. וזהו כשניחה בחזקס טהורה. אבל כשניחה תמיה, אפילו עברו ימים רבים, עשר לא ילובו אליה, עד שתאום אליה תבלתי. תאטומה הווודאי, והתאר הספק, ואימא צווין מצווי דאדה. ויראה לי, here's where the Aruch HaShulchan takes on the Chavis Das. ויראה לי, דווקא, דלאב דווקא באמרס פי התבלתי, אלא אפילו היא עושה דבר שמרמזס לו תפילסה. If she does something to indicate that she's fine, kigon, much less dramatic than the Chavis Das's case, kigon shenosenes lo chefetz miyado liyada. We know that Xeris Rashi is that you're not allowed to pass items from one to the next. So then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. So the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees and says, you don't need an amira. All you need is an umdana demuchach, and in such a case, that's going to be enough. And then he quotes the Chavis Das, and he says he doesn't like it. Why would amira be necessary? He says all you need is a clear remez from the husband. And he adds, and he says they are embarrassed to say tavalti. Now this is based on a Maimar Chazal. Stam, this is something we should talk about in Shalom Bayis. And that is, Chazal say that women and wives are sometimes uncomfortable to tell their husbands that they want to be close to them. To be physically close to them, they're for whatever reason they're inhibited in some situations. So it could very well be that the Aruch HaShulchan is making that statement as well. It says Boshos Lomer Befihen. He's making reference to that Gemara. Boshos Lomer Befihen Tavalti. Chavis Das says it's based on Tosas, and there's a big literature about which Tosas the Chavis Das was referring to altogether. So at the end of the day, the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. The Chutz Shani tries to put this in context and gives svaras in both directions. Rav Nissim Karelitz, that's the Chutz Shani, in Kuf Pehe Aleph, points out, wait a second, what's the halacha? Rav Baruch Mendelssohn used to be my chavrusa, so he told me, he's an 11th grade Rebbe in MTA, so this is when Rabbi Simon just became a YP Rebbe. So he told me, we were discussing the sugya, and he said he ran the sugya by Rabbi Simon, and he said he had candies by him. So he told Rabbi Simon, you know, it's going to be a little slow, so you could take the candies and eat the candies while I'm telling you over the chabur I'm about to say. Rabbi Simon said, thank you. So he said, Rabbi Simon took, maybe it was a jelly bean or something. So he said, Rabbi Simon took a jelly bean and he ate it. And he said, every single time he took another jelly bean, Rabbi Simon asked him, is it okay if I take another? And it was like he felt like he needed a heter to each one. So that anecdote that my Chavrusa told me, I was reminded of when the Chutz Shani asked the following question. The Chutz Shani asks, you go to somebody's house that you trust, right? And they feed you food. Do you have to ask them, is it kosher? So why do you have to ask your wife if she's kosher? Why do you have to ask her if she went to the mikvah? Just like the halacha is that's an umdana. There's an eidecha that's nema bisur. So too, the halacha would be that you should be able to, and the minig is that we assume that the maisa is enough. The maisa, the act itself of giving it is enough.
Rabbi, isn't it different in a house with kashrus because that's always a chesed haram? Meaning, a woman is going to be, whether or not she's...
But the meat was b'cheska seina shachot.
There's a din like that?
Yeah, that's a din. Yeah, that's a din. We don't learn it so much in smicha, but that's in Simen Aleph, that's... Chazaka ain't a zavuach. Yeah, the meat has a chazaka. You're right. The person doesn't have a problem with chazaka, but the meat has a problem with chazaka. So Rav Nissim Karel suggests the following chiddush. You don't need to. If Rabbi Mendelssohn tells you could have his candies, you don't have to ask him after every single jelly bean whether it's mutter. Someone serves you food. The halach is that you could eat their food if they have a cheskas kashrus. You don't have to ask them if it's kosher. And finally, so what's the halacha in regards to nida? So you take a look in the Chutz Shani in page Nuntes. He says as follows: He says the gam ein din shalamir shetiyamer torani. The woman's nemenes, and there is no halacha. It's not like being magdish or anything like that. They need to say torani. Ela inin hu de beinon gilui milsa shi tahora ubemaisa sheba. So Rav Nissim Karelitz argues that it could very well be that even a maisa that she lays down next to him is not going to be enough of a maisa. Why? He says, because the person has a yetzahara. So maybe she's being nichshal in her yetzahara. So there, that's why you need it. But in a case of where there's no reason to believe that a person has a yetzahara, like he says on the next page, this is based on Amari Chazal, that to be machshel your friend, that there's no chash. So then Nissim Karel sort of makes peace between the chumrah of the chavas das and the halacha, and he says that this is just a question of what is an appropriate giloy das. I would just point out that in Rav Nissim Karel's presentation, in of itself, are strong rayas to the Aruch HaShulchan, and that is that that l'chura, if there's no reason to believe that another, if the husband knows that they've been living together for 5 years and that they weren't nichshal in isurim chamurim of nida, so that when on the night that she's coming back from the mikvah, in such a case, to assume that this is what's going on, that in itself, I think, is, in other words, even though he builds up an edifice that he puts in, he tries to be mazbir the chavas das, I think gufa, his whole approach, might itself be a raya. And sure enough, this is the standard psak that's given in the Torah world. And this, now you can understand. Let's see, do I have it here? I put down the Maramakom in the Sefer Marakoin, Amud Kuf Ches. I thought of bringing it, but I guess I didn't bring it. In Amud Kuf Ches, the Marakoin writes Beferish that if she does a Maisa, so then in such a case, she would be believed. Aryeh pointed out at the time that here it is. Yes, I have it here. It's in the booklet. Before the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, "Misha isa ishto tmeya, v'haya chutz lebeisel perik zman aruch ve'en lo shum yediyim ishto safra shivnikim etava kishemagil lebeisa rehi asur lo ad shetiyam lo tavalti." So that's what we learned, that you need an amira. O shei nikar misanugusa shemiramezes lo shetavla. Or it should be nikar from her hanhaga that she did go to the mikvah. It should be nikar from her hanhaga that she went to the mikvah. So Arya pointed out that he didn't have a makar over here, so I found the makar. The makar is the Aruch HaShulchan. He doesn't quote the Aruch HaShulchan. It could be that unfortunately Beshita he doesn't quote the Aruch HaShulchan. That's a possibility. But at the end of the day, the Lechem V'Simla, you should know that Sefer, the Lechem V'Simla. Lechem V'Simla is Reb Shlomo Gansfried, the Baal Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. In the Lechem V'Simla also, he develops and he brings Rayas. I just didn't photocopy it for you over here, but I found that he also is a source. But the Aruch HaShulchan is even clearer that he's Maker. Okay, so Ad Kan. As far as that's concerned, you know, hamachmir tovol of bracha if it doesn't make his wife uncomfortable, but clearly meikur d'dina, it's not necessary for her to mamar say tovol. Yes, Natan.
Yeah,
the
passing like this, especially.
Oh wait! I just realized. Machmir tovol of bracha, and that was the approach that Rav Nevinzal also said. That Rav Nevinzal did when I asked him. Chachmasam says that he asks her. Rav Nevinzal did say. That as well. So that for me, that's significant. Yeah.
Yeah. If you pass them like this, especially like the more legal, right? Even passing something,
right?
It's just another reason that you have to make sure that you're always you very very cautious in our focus, because
right.
If someone could accidentally do something,
nachon.
Then you lose that a little.
Nachon. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Aruch HaShulchan is assuming that they're very careful about it. That's true. That is very true. Okay, so now we get to the Ramah in Sif Gimel with a shach. The Ramah says, this Ramah is a little hard to swallow. We call Malkom Misha wrote lahachman asol shelo lahem in la midas chasidusu. It would be a midas chasidus if she said tmei ani not a believer. with an amasla, because amasla is complicated in the Gemaras. I think that the Beis Yosef and the Rama would both agree that if there is issues of shalom bayis that are at play, then it becomes much more complicated. I don't think anybody should follow this Rama without consulting a Rav, even if they wanted to follow me to Chassidus. Al medina ne'emenes afilu b'shasa achakach, rak shihi bo v'shocheves etzel bala. V'hu yodeo makir shemashar m'tchilat me'ani asa machmas k'tata shahayila ima. So, the Rama himself has the suggestion that we saw of shocheves etzel bala. In other words, even the Chavis Das knows that there is, and that's why I'm doing the Rama last, that even the Chavis Das knows that there's a case in where a woman who's shocheves etzel bala, that she's going to be muteras. So what's going on over here? So here we have a Chsam Sofer. Chsam Sofer explains what's going on, and therefore we'll be able to put this case in a separate category, and it will be a little bit different than some of the other cases. Take a look. The Badei HaShulchan quotes this Chsam Sofer. Badei HaShulchan's in your booklet, towards the beginning, right after Ramesha. Shasura ad shetivdok miyesh leveses kavua. He says, I'm sorry, that's not the right thing. In the right places. Should be towards the end. Or is it? Do I not have it here? It's not here.
I have it tomorrow. I have it.
Oh, you have it there? Yeah, you have. But which one? Is it Kuf Pei Dal or Kuf Pei Hei? Kuf Pei Hei. So it could be my booklet. You said it's after the Marikoin? Maybe I did something different with this booklet. I was being saving pages. Thank you very much. Excellent. Yeah, so it is in the booklet. Thank you. So in Sif Katan Chav Tes, the Badei HaShulchan says as follows. In Dibra Maslan Menes, he says, Kosva HaAchronim Shedivrei HaRamakan She'enet Tzarech L'sho'ola Al HaMasla Shelo V'gam Afil Lo Matarini Enet Tzricha El Sagi B'um Dem Ra'ava Shoshochez Etzel Amurim Heim Kishabal Hevi Mitchila Kishomet Meni She'eno Meres Kein El Machmas K'tata. So says the Chsam Sofer that this case was due, and that sounds like from the Sefer of the Rama, that there was already, the husband suspected that he knew why she was saying Tmeya Ani. And that was, unfortunately, there was a disagreement. So when she does a Maisa, that is going to be enough. That's the Psak of the Rama. So what emerges is that in general, when a woman says something, she needs an Amasla, could very well be she needs Amasla with words. But according to the Chsam Sofer, the Rama over here is a particular case. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, you need to take a look in Sif Katan Yubez, that's the Maramakum where he discusses this. But it could be that this already is a Makar, that a Maisa is going to be enough. But the Chsam Sofer says that this is a, might be a unique case. So that's how the Chavis Das will probably get out of this Rama. That there, when you have an Amasla where there was an Amira, and that Amira could be explained in a particular way, and it's not just that the Amasla itself is explaining it, but there already was a Reisa in the Tmeani. There was an understanding that this Tmeani is unique. So then in such a case, an Amasla is going to work. Now, by the way, the Shach disagrees. The Shach in Sifkat and Dalit says, Mikol Mokom Nira da Habal Chayev Lishalosa, Lama Hibatsa Hare Amra Lo Tmeani, Ditzarach Lotzi Amasla Bipiha. So the Shach says, no, that in this case, even though the way we were explaining it was there was a Ketata, so then in such a case, the Baal still needs to ask her. So there is that open question. Whether we follow the Rama or the Shach. So now let's summarize then. Let's just summarize our different types of Amaslas. And what do we have as far as Amasla is concerned. So according to the Ramah, we're going to have three different levels. That when it's Toch Vesta, then the husband comes home, she has to say Tahorani. And if she lays down next to him, it could very well be that according to the Chavis Das, then that's not going to be enough. If she has a Cheskas Tuma, and then Avru Yamim, She'ef Shela Limnos, so then in such a case, according to Aruch HaShulchan, Shocheves Ani is going to be enough. Shocheves Etzlo is going to be enough. Simply, the Maisa is going to be enough. In general, when it comes to a Maisa can't be undone with an Amasla. That's what we saw before, that Amasla is not going to be enough because the Maisa is going to be stronger. But what happens if you have an Amira? So then, in such a case, will a Maisa without another Amira be enough? So here we have the Ramah, that the Ramah says that Amira is not going to be necessary. A Maisa is going to be enough. How is the Maisa going to be enough? Because there was a case of where that he suspected it was due to a Ktata. So then, in such a case, then the Halacha would be that it's going to be acceptable. According to Shach, even that is not going to be acceptable as well. Okay. And we already summarized the eight different categories, and so this is what the Ramah adds to that wrinkle in the machlokes between the Chavis Das and the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay. Now, there is a couple of exceptions to these dinim of Amasla that come up in the Nosei Kelim. Number one is a fascinating Taz, the Taz in Sifkatan Beis. The Taz quotes the following kasha. He says that the Mechaber had said, "Im huchsekani de b'shchon osel chashul kavadei tmeya." So we were bothered, why won't an Amasla work? So what was the Shach's teretz? The Shach's teretz was that the reason why Amasla doesn't work is because Amasla can't undo a Maisa. Okay? That was the Shach's teretz. But the Taz gives a different teretz. Tiretz HaRashba, quotes the Rashba, Mishum boshe so onus mikri shomeres tmeni. Avolasos Maisa kule hai lovosh begotten shalnida einan emas. The first teretz is like the Shach. Then he gives a second teretz. Umatzasi kasa b'shem Maharal miPrag. Here we not often that we have the Maharal miPrag quoted in the Nosei Kelim. Deshani huchsek anidu v'shchanasel delav kulei alma yodim min hamasla. V'imkein alma samcha kishechzika atzma negi kulei alma. He says as follows. He says, if you're going to do a maisa that everybody sees that you have a certain status, and then you're only going to try to change it by saying it to one person, it's not going to be believed. So here from the Taz, we learn the following halacha. From the Taz, we learn that when you have a maisa that's done birabim, then you need an amira, at least an amira birabim, to undo it. And so that's an important klal. That is that a Maisa Barabim, in such a case, that's the problem over here. There's a Maisa Barabim, and that can't be undone. So this Taz you should know, qua Taz, and also to know in terms of Hilchos Amasla, that is an important distinction. Again, from the Shach, we saw the Taz used this to create a Chumran Amasla, but the Shach, in Sifkat and Hay, created a Kula in Amasla, where you have a Maisa. And that is that in a case in which there's a reason why he did a Maisa and it was Eifshar B'Inyan Acher, so then in such a case, then Amasla is going to work. So that will be a fundamental difference between the Shach and the Tas. Okay. Last issue for today is, at first glance, a very, very logical heter from Chacham Avadya Zatzal. Chacham Avadya, at the end of the booklet, we have in his Sefer Taras Habayis, we have the following halacha. On the top of the page, it says, a woman who says, I didn't go to the mikvah. And then she comes back and she says, I did. So says Chacham Avadia, Afal pi shuhuchzika b'isur, im nasna masla dvaren emenes. She says, I didn't go to the mikveh because I didn't have the koach to have tashmish, let's say. But now I do, and you should know that I wasn't telling the truth in the first place. I must add, because it's on my mind, that I don't think that these sugyas and chazal should in any way encourage people to be, to live ad asof midvar sheker tirchak. Unfortunately, in Jewish society today, I think even more in Israel, even more than in Chutz La'aretz, that there's crept in a culture of justifying not being truthful, and it permeates a lot of society. A lot of society today. If you want, after Shir, I can give you examples. I actually had an interview with Headlines about this topic. It's something that's on my mind. That's how Headlines got to me. I gave it as a Musar Shem was last year and about a particular topic. So I think, of course, in these cases, you need to keep in mind that the times that's mutter l'shanos from Pnei Hashalom. If you take a look, I'm off topic now, but if you take a look at Tosas on Daf Chav Gimel on the Beis and Bav Metzia, Tosas Chav Gimel says that all the examples that the Gemara says of where you're allowed to lie, regards to Masechta, in regards to hosting people, etc. For those who are familiar with the Gemara, Tosas says all those things are Laman HaShalom. So this would be a case where a woman feels that Laman HaShalom, she's lying. So in such a case, it's going to be Mutter. Okay, now Zar L'nyanenu. So if a woman said that she did not go to the mikveh because she feels that would create lack of Shalom, and then she says, I did go, so Chacham Avadia says that she's Ne'emenes. So Rav Nevin Zal, when he was teaching me these halachos, before I knew this Chacham Avadia, Rav Nevin Zal told me like this, a Maharsha in Yevamis on Kuf Yud Ches Amar Alf, on the spot. He said to me, a Maharsha in Yevamis. Sure enough, Chacham Avadia also knows that Maharsha in Yevamis. It's right there in Chacham Avadia's footnotes. But that was the first time I learned this Maharsha, before I saw this Chacham Avadia. That Rav Nevin Zal, right off the spot, said to me the following. When he taught me this halacha, he said that this halacha, that a woman's nemenes to give a masla, to say that the reason why I said that I was a nida was because I didn't have strength for tashmish, but now that I have strength for tashmish, you should know that I did go, that I am tahora, I'm no longer a nida. So Rav Nevin Zal told me that the Maharsha would hold that if a woman says that she wasn't tovel and then says she was tovel, that their masla would not work. An masla would not work. What's this based on? Because the Maharsha learns, according to Tosis over there in Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the Maharsha claims that a masla just could remove a psul. A masla could not create a maisa. So a woman said that she was not tovelas. The woman says that she did not go to the mikvah, right? And a masla cannot create a reality. And a masla could just knock out the previous thing that she said. So what happens over here? She said that she didn't go to the mikvah. What does a masla do? A masla explains what I meant before. So don't take seriously what I meant before. So where is she back at? She's back at her place of Cheskas Tameah. The Maharsha, people point out according to the Maharsha. The Maharsha says that all a masla could do is knock out the first Amira. Oh, so when a woman says that she was a Nida, but she had enough time to go to the mikvah, right? The husband came home and she said that he's surprised. She says, I'm still a Nida. So he says, no, I was explaining to you because the kids were around, whatever my cheshbon was, right? So in such a case, then you knock out that statement. And then the halacha would be that she's going to be tahora. But when it comes to the tovelas, if she said, I wasn't tovelas, and she said, gives an amasa why she said, and she makes tovelas, all that does is it knocks down lo tavalti. Fine! You knocked down lo tavalti, but you didn't create tavalti. So then in such a case, then according to Marshal B. Machmir, maybe Rabbi Rav Nevin Zal told me that Rav Shlomo Zalman was Machmir for this Marsha. Chacham Avadia Zatzal two great gedolim who had tremendous respect for each other. Chaim Avadi goes through where he thinks that you don't paskin like this mar, paskin like this marsha, nahara nahara upashte. I don't think this shaila comes up very often, but I guess the bottom line is what you want to tell Bnos Yisrael is that according to our tradition from Rav Shlomo Zalman, it would be much better if she would say Tmeyani, if she needed to lie, and then explain herself and with Amasla, then if she says Lo Tavalti, and then she says Tavalti, so then in such a case, then all it would do would knock out the other Amasla, and then you would need to create some type of, you would need to find a new Cheskas Tahara for this girl. You wouldn't be home free just by simply knocking out the previous thing. Yes?
I understand.
Oh, but now she already hurt herself when she said Lo Tavalti. Let's take a look. Hiine lefi mashkasa marsha bekavasa tosin shafil kishon sales la masla vare ein maaminim dafkel dvara achronim el misalkin dvara mikol dekol mashim al sachasa im ken yesh lomar shedaf gobe omeres tameani vichazra omer torani nemenetz masam shum shoyse becheskes tahara. But here, where she was Huchzaka Tmeya, in Misalik, where we call the call, Alidea Masa, Kati Becheskas Tuma, Omedes, she has a Cheskas Tuma. In other words, in a case of where a husband comes home, maybe I didn't spell out this variable of the case, in a case of where a husband comes home, and the wife says, Tmeyani, right? She was Becheskas Tahara. He left her, for example. He left her becheskas tahara, and then she comes back after. He comes back after the onas haveses. So then, in such a case, he needs to ask her. So he asked her, and she says tmeani. Then she explains, no. What I meant was I didn't want to have tashmish now because I wasn't feeling well. Really, tahorani. So your tahorani knocks out the tmeani. But what happens if he leaves her at night? She's on the seventh day of her shivanikim. She's supposed to go to the mikvah tonight. Then she says, Lo Tavalti. Then she says, no, the reason why I said Lo Tavalti is because I didn't have koch. So then the Tavalti knocks out the Lo Tavalti. Fine, but you still have the Cheskas Tmeya. Now, so Reb Natan is asking, so then could you have a new Amira afterwards? Could you have a new Amira afterwards? But that Amira is always going to go need to explain the Lo Tavalti. Tzarechiyun. But at the end of the day, the Marsha Svara is mistabit. In other words, the Chakir is how you look at a Masla. Let's just formulate. What does a Masla do? What a Masla does is it reinstates the original Chazaka. Or it could reinstate the Chazaka. Or does a Masla just remove the Amira, but it doesn't create, it can't recreate a new Chazaka. Those are the two tzedakim. Okay, we'll stop over here. In Mirtzeh Hashem, we will pick up with Siv Dalet. Siv Dalet is a new set of halachos. This is Chas v'Chalila, if a husband and wife are nichshal in Nida, that will have the end of Simin Kuf Pei Hei, and we'll go to Kuf Pei Vav, which is very, very important, which we didn't discuss some of the halachas of bedikos for a woman that doesn't have a veses, and then we'll also discuss dam haroa machmas tashmish, and that's a very big and important sugya, and then we go on to tamaka.